This month on the One Prez Pod, Surprised by Hope. It is both a book by N.T. Wright, which is our book club book for the month. If you'd like to know more about reading that book or joining in the conversation at the end of the month, just call the church office. But it is also at the core of what we believe as Christians. What is our hope in Jesus Christ? Our hope in what is happening on Good Friday, Easter Sunday, in His death and resurrection. This month, join me, Reverend Blackburn, as we have conversations with local religious leaders about what the hope in Christ means to them. Welcome. Hey there, everyone. It's Reverend Tasha Blackburn, and I am here with another special guest for this month as we look at the themes around Easter and N.T. Wright's book, Surprised by Hope. And my special guest today is Charlie Wolford. Hello, Charlie.
Hello. How are you today?
Charlie is a member of the church, and he was raised in this church, has many, many stories about this church, which might be its own separate podcast at some
point. It would be, yeah.
And Charlie has a wonderful gift of many in that he loves to read theology.
Which is just seems, you can see maybe why I have two daughters in psychology, psychiatry.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's not a big club.
Yeah.
Charlie, it's not a big club of people who read theology on purpose.
Right. Right.
So I thought it would be fun, and thank you for joining me today. Yeah. I thought it'd be fun to have us talk about some of these themes that we've been diving into. This is now our third episode in the month. And what I want to start with today with you. Okay, one of the earliest Christian statements, and we still say it, well, sometimes here on Communion Sundays, but one of the most ancient statements was this threefold statement: Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Mm-hmm.
This yes. Walking through, Holy Week, but then beyond.
Right.
So what do you, as you've dived into that in your own faith, in your own reading, in your own thought, what do you think about when you think of that creed?
Yeah. So it's funny where my head went when I first read that question, because I thought of Field of Dreams.
If you build it, they will come. No, not that part.
That's the fundraising part. So, when we think about our death, mm-hmm. and what it means to go through the process, we handle it poorly a lot of times,
yes,
as church people,
yeah,
in our understanding. And I think that's where N.T. Wright tries to take us. You know, these ideas of disembodied, you know, souls off somewhere,
yes,
so on and so forth. And so there's this scene, and I just remember Costner saying, at one point, what's in it for me? And the context is better than the statement, which is, Terrence Mann uh-huh. is getting ready to go out into the corn and see what's going on out where all these baseball players are coming from. And for some reason, Ray has just now found out, Kevin Costner, and he's like, why don't I get to do this?
Yeah.
And Shoeless Joe says, because you weren't invited. You're not allowed to know yet.
Interesting.
And so there's also parts that taking off on a tangent, in our belief system, there's just things we don't know. And
what's wrong with mystery?
And what's wrong with mystery? So yeah. Terrence gets, as he's going out there, Costner says, you are going to write it down, aren't you? And so we've got this stuff that got written down.
Mm-hmm.
And limited as it is, and so, you know, some of the ideas that the other ideas that came to mind, like Lazarus' story and all that, there's,
I know,
you know, why in the world did nobody write a chapter on what Lazarus experienced?
I know. Hello.
Hello.
And yeah. He's the only other, well, there's the little girl.
Yeah.
Talitha Kum thing, right? But was she dead, or was she
Are we dealing with resuscitation or resurrection?
But Lazarus is the only one who's been in a tomb a couple days.
We have 4 days. It's fourth day coming out. And everybody's like, it's going to be stinky.
Would think we'd write a chapter.
You'd think, yeah, sit him down at the old, we were going to go to the old Starbucks, and let's just have a chapter on. And you know, you get thinking about, as we move into this material, did it matter?
Uh-huh.
Because it all changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, we start thinking about the concepts of, you know, of Sheol or Sheol. And so where
this
was
sort of sleeping place this sort of, yeah, of the Old Testament.
Yeah, the Old Testament.
Sheol, yeah.
Yeah, and so you get this model, you know, and then you compare that to Hades and Hell, which are kind of other concepts. But, you know, after, you know, he comes back and is there, we can assume, Lazarus is back and is there through Jesus' death and resurrection. Mm-hmm. So things change. Mm-hmm. At that point. And so you have this transformative moment, which yes. is Jesus going through the same death that we're going to go through.
Yes.
But changing it in a, such a fundamental way. So, I mean, you know, here's Lazarus. You know, do I have to do this twice?
I know. Yeah. He's like, wait, I already was in that.
I've been there. You
yeah.
know?
Well, but so do you feel like when we make a statement like that, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Is this the church's way, Christians of the ages' way of saying, behold, I stand before a mystery?
Yeah.
Like, first and foremost, yes, I just made three statements, but I'm making three trust statements.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, one of the leading questions, you know, we deal with hope.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the death deal, there again, we don't talk about it in our society that much. We don't deal with it that much. Mm-hmm. And we kind of struggle with the theology of it. You know, what exactly happens to me mm-hmm. when I go on? So, you know, you're kind of like, you know, I've built this field. I've done all this stuff that you've asked me to do. And now I don't get to know.
Yeah, I know. So, okay, so.
So then we start stepping through what we do know.
I was going to say, so what do we know?
What do we know? So Jesus dies and comes again. And they didn't expect resurrection. When you go through the Gospels, that's one thing that N.T. Wright kind of brings out. Even Matthew, you know, Mr. I'm going to tie us back to this. Uh-huh. You know, this fulfills
You're
this.
You're fulfilling a scripture. You're fulfilling a scripture.
What,
yeah.
is it, what does he do with the resurrection?
There's nothing.
He's silent.
And yeah.
it was such a surprising thing. They, mm-hmm. you know, those who expected resurrection, which was perhaps Pharisees and the Essenes, mm-hmm. perhaps, thought that it was going to be this community thing maybe much later.
Yes.
The concept of one person mm-hmm. being resurrected was...
Well, and don't you think that's also related to nobody's expecting a dead Messiah either.
If you aren't expecting
him to die, you got to back it up a step. You're not expecting him to suffer and die. Therefore, you're not expecting resurrection. So you have to re-toggle everything.
So as we go through Holy Week, we see them, Jesus talking about it.
Yeah.
And the disciples are, hey, this isn't, we didn't come to Jerusalem necessarily for this.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. I was just reading something the other day, and I forget the fancy word for it. There's a fancy theological word for it. But basically, it's the idea that you can't just take general theological thought, general premises of, you know, a God of peace, mm-hmm. and then like, or a God of love, and then just have Jesus match up to it. He now is the lens.
Right.
Through which you understand anything else you were going to say. So, you can't just talk about a generic Messiah.
Right.
It's only through the lens of what he does and goes through and comes out of that now that's what Messiah means. It redefines
exactly
all the words.
So all of our gospel writers stop at that moment
mm-hmm.
and they kind of are caught
mm-hmm.
with, we don't have anything coming from. So, you know, when we think about AI, artificial intelligence, there's a singularity.
Okay.
And it's that moment where everything, that's an inflection point, where everything's got to change.
Yeah.
And our whole view of everything has to change. And so we've come trundling through Holy Week, yeah. and now everybody has to rethink their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
So we have denials, and I wasn't with him, and all mm-hmm. this, because this is not going how we planned. The Messiah is not supposed to die. The reassuring part is that we know that our Messiah has gone through what we're going to go through.
I was going to say, so then it changes everything because it changes not only how I die, but how I live. It changes when hope can be part of my life, even if on the outside everything looks like trash.
Right.
Right? Like,
yes.
Because of Friday moving into Sunday, moving into whatever that future Sunday is, right?
Yeah.
It changes not only victory, but it changes defeat.
Yes, yeah.
For all of us.
Yeah. So N.T. Wright starts to talk about communion of saints.
Uh-huh.
And so, and he does it in the context of our dying, that here we are being gathered up, wherever mm-hmm. our gathered up point is.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to Revelation. He talks about, you know, those under that are under the altar. And the saints are crying out, you know, when is it time?
Mm-hmm.
And he makes it clear to us that we're all the saints. Mm-hmm. You know, we all in that moment of death and what Jesus did for us, we become, mm-hmm. in his writing anyway, we are the saints. And it's mm-hmm. universal, and we're all in mm-hmm. the same position waiting for that resurrection to come.
Mm-hmm.
So we commune together. He ties us there through our baptism. You know, mm-hmm. Jesus says you were washed once, and so you're in now. It was an interesting yeah. way for me, and it was a very positive way of looking at how things maybe play out. You know,
yeah.
So because the concepts that we misuse, sitting on a cloud,
oh.
And
oh, Charlie.
Sweet by and by.
For our listeners, I'm rolling my eyes. Yes. yeah. I mean, so, I'm not a fan.
Yeah. So, because what the church is looking at is this waiting place until yes. resurrection comes about.
Yes.
And the other idea that Wright throws in there is the time is not right until all the number are fulfilled.
I know.
So until all
and
of us come
along. What does that mean? I know.
And so here we are 2,000 years later, and we're waiting for this.
Well, and something we don't talk about very often, and it would not be popular in some Christian quarters, but I think it's what we see in Scripture, is my salvation is linked with yours.
Yeah, yeah.
There is no understanding in Scripture, certainly in the Old Testament, and not in the New Testament either, of a singular me.
Mm-hmm.
It is all we.
Yeah.
You know, he grabs us up,
right.
You know, as a people.
Yeah.
And we are such an individualistic society that we miss all those we's.
Yeah. We do. Yeah.
The W-E's. But there is this sense in which the fulfillment of all of this has us linked together.
And I see that in the way that he is trying to present it. Mm-hmm. This communion of saints is, it's not like there's a hierarchy of where we are going to be resting. We're mm-hmm. all there together.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems like we are conscious because, at least in Revelation, the souls are crying out, you know, when is that? And the time yeah. is when we're all here. And it's, so it's a we deal.
Gosh.
When we all get gathered up. And so yeah. it's an interesting concept, I think, that Wright pulls out through his mm-hmm. writings. Now, I will tell everybody, there's a Cliff's Notes I found.
Oh, you and, cheater!
I know, and N.T. Wright gave it to me in the start of his book. He has another book called For All the Saints.
Yes.
And it's concise and deals with some other issues, but really well written. 95 pages.
Okay.
But well, I'm reading that.
While you're confessing things, too, I think we should let our listeners know that you ran all your answers today through ChatGPT, right?
I did.
Is that what you said?
I did, yes. And I also did a sermon for you.
Oh,
so I've got you a
gosh.
Sermon for the next time. It took 5 seconds.
It'll be great. Well, this Sunday.
Yeah,
this
Sunday.
Come to First Presbyterian Church and we'll
do
somebody will preach a sermon,
right?
Oh, I know. Isn't that funny? Well, okay. So I want to ask about the hope piece then.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the name of his book is Surprised by Hope. Easter's all about hope.
Mm-hmm.
I think you could make the argument Good Friday's about hope, you know, yeah. not just Easter. But what do you think about how all this links with hope, and not just hope in the someday, by and by, but hope today?
Yeah, so our present hope.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think about that?
So, you know, death is a piece that, as we've said it multiple times already, you know, that we just don't deal with.
Mm-hmm.
But we know it's coming. There's no way around it. And so is there a healthy way to look at what is coming? And
mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the verses that came out of the reading, you know, N.T. Wright summarizes Romans 6:7 saying, bodily death puts sin at an end.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're stuck in this sinful place, mm-hmm. and we are stuck as sinful people. And we talked about the tea and tulip, total depravity.
Yeah, we're all on board with the total depravity.
And we're so bad. Yeah, sometimes we can't even, we don't make the right decisions.
Yeah.
And Paul wrote about that. Mm-hmm. I want to do the right thing, and we're all trying to do. But there is this hope that the sin, the weight of the sin, mm-hmm. comes off of us at some moment. And mm-hmm. our baptism is that expression, okay, mm-hmm. I'm with you, and I'm however, and Wright talks about this, however meager our efforts or how great our efforts, mm-hmm. it is the baptism and it is what Christ does through us, through our relationship with him, that gives us that justification to go on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's there. And so no matter what our condition, our status, our means, or whatever, when we go into, Jesus on the cross said, today you will go with me to paradise.
Yes.
To a brigand that probably deserved to be there.
Yes. A criminal.
A criminal.
They don't play any games. He's guilty of it.
He's guilty, and he is a person that's guilty of a capital offense.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus, so whatever that paradise is, we don't understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a great hope, I think, that of what's coming. And then to look forward to the resurrection, which is that inflection point.
Yeah.
But we've got to get our heads away from sweet by and by on the cloud and think about a real resurrected body. And I think that's part of where we miss it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He has this crazy description in one of his books I just had to write it down to read it. Because,
okay, read it to me.
Hang on, let me get to it. He says, okay, we're looking at it from software side. God will download our software on his hardware at death until the day when he gives us new hardware and downloads our software on that.
Aww.
Now that's interesting. And it's funny that here's this guy who's a theologian.
Using engineering talk.
Just kind of, so there's this place we will go to be that we're safe in him.
Yeah.
And then...
And you know what? See, you're making me think all kinds of things here, Charlie. And one of the things I'm thinking, and I think the opposing, an opposing view would be, oh, you're being too namby-pamby. This is all just too fluffy and lovey-dovey. But here's what I would say, of all the words that Jesus could use to describe God, he mm-hmm. uses Father.
Right.
In fact, he uses dad, right? I mean, right. Every Sunday school,
every Sunday school
teacher has told you Abba is dad or daddy, right? And so what we get from that is this child parent thing.
Right.
And I just think, sometimes we don't know what's going to happen, but I think we have got to look at it from a parent-child perspective.
Right.
And not everybody's had a child. I get that. But if you have had a child, then I can hate what you have done.
Right.
It can make my blood boil. It can make my veins go cold.
Mm-hmm.
I can be utterly disappointed. I can be angry with you. I can be all those things, right?
Right.
And I would also give my life for you.
Yeah, you're still my child.
And you are always my child.
Right.
Right? When it's working.
Right.
Right? And I just think, you read this hardware software thing, and it's like, if we don't believe God can do that.
Right.
And yeah. would want to do
would
that.
Would want to do that.
Where is it we are here?
Yeah. So often, I think we go to judgment
mm-hmm.
immediately
mm-hmm.
and the heaven-hell mm-hmm. type of vision, when as believers, there is this positive place where we go and are retained and maintained
mm-hmm.
until it's time
mm-hmm.
for our bodily resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
And so we learn through the Easter story. You asked me, I think, or ask your favorite.
Yes.
So I have two. Mm-hmm. But the road to Emmaus is because they don't know him. This resurrection body is
He's
so
chatting with them, talking.
Chatting them up
at the road.
And they're saying, well, how did this? And then he tells them, well, here, I'm going to just tie it all together for you.
Yeah. They should have written that chapter too, the way.
Yeah. So here, once again, when you go out into the corn, let's write it down.
But
you get that sense of that he's different but the same.
Exactly.
And so this resurrection body is something that is unique. So
uh-huh.
he comes in his physical. He can be touched. He can eat. He can walk through walls. He appears and disappears. Yeah. And it's just a different...
He is himself and he isn't.
Yeah.
He's both at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, and all of those Easter stories are about not recognizing we can't stay here forever.
Exactly.
Right? They all do that. Exactly. Mary in the garden,
yeah.
She doesn't know it. She thinks he's the gardener till he says her name.
Right.
Then she hugs him, and he says, basically, I think in the original Greek, he says, you know, we can't do this all day.
Right.
You're going to have to stop eventually. So yeah. There is this sense of we catch it in fits and starts and stops, whatever.
Yeah.
We catch it fleetingly, and then we also can't stay there.
Right.
We have to keep going forward. Changed.
Changed, yep.
But not stuck.
Yeah. So as
belief, tell me your other one, too.
Well, so the other one, and it's not Easter, it's before. It's the tearing of...
Oh, boy.
Right?
The temple curtain.
When that curtain temple goes, mm-hmm. that separation's gone.
Mm-hmm. God is on the loose.
Yeah,
which, that's what I always think about. Like,
yeah, it's just an amazing moment to me that we don't have that separation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And so you get back to this priesthood of believers.
Mm-hmm.
So what is my purpose? Well, now I've got a big purpose.
Yeah.
And that purpose leads into, essentially someday to my judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And Wright does this wonderful job of, some people build with gold and some, that section, and some people build with straw. And so some of us, when the fire tests it, we're going to be a little smoky, but
yeah.
We're going to be in.
Yeah.
Because we had that relation.
And could it be refining fire?
Too? It is
too. It's not necessarily pleasant, right?
Right,
but,
right.
It's...
But the
separation. Temple curtain, just so people know, I think it's in Matthew that the temple curtain is torn in two, if I remember right. Yeah. Anyway, but the detail about that, and the curtain was the curtain that separated where many of the people could stand on one side, and only one or two could ever go in the other side. That was the Holy of Holies. That's where God, quote unquote, lived. It's God's sanctuary. And what I love about when the temple curtain tears at Christ's death, it tears from top
to bottom.
To bottom.
Yes.
So God tore it.
Yeah.
Like, right?
Yeah.
This is something torn from heaven all the way down.
And,
I love that detail.
When you read about how massive that thing was, and had these huge rings and was made of this finest materials and all that. And to think of it, tearing, it's one of the finest parts of the temple itself.
Yeah.
But we're not going to have separation.
Yeah.
So
that's also about saying you now need to run all of your terms and ideas through me now, through who I've just said I am.
Yeah.
You thought I needed this Holy of Holies. You thought I was in there.
Yeah.
No, I'm telling you, redefine all of it.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And I'm trying to help kind of thing, right?
Yeah. Right. Right. So, and then we get Paul, and then we get us Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
Because... without the tearing out, we're way out in the outer courts.
I'm not even in the outer court, right?
Right.
I mean, we're lucky to be on the steps somewhere
exactly.
of the temple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, those are the two.
Uh-huh.
Those are the two. Because, they're again on the road to Emmaus, they get told all these things and they're warmed and they're, but they still don't recognize him until it's time to go on. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Until it's time to go on, and then
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and I had one other thing. So we had the died, risen, come again.
Yeah.
And then Wright brings up the church triumphant, church expectant, church militant.
Mm.
About what we are. So there again, we're using the we words, because the church is all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And he places, the church, especially expectant, when we have moved to that next stage.
Mm-hmm.
We are at the base of the altar, and we are crying out. When is our number complete? And it's us and we and all that at that moment. Church militants, what we, and that's a strong term. You might use a different term.
That's a problematic term.
Problematic term.
Use a term that's used military. A lot now. Problematic. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he uses it in the context that we are out there.
Yeah.
Moving forward in. So, one of the things that always has made me wonder is, okay, so this body's gone, and who is Charlie? and yeah. who is Tasha.
Yeah.
And he is reluctant to, talking about right, is reluctant to use the word soul. He uses a term vocation, and he uses that term vocation to describe our essence, that you and I have an essence. We have that strength. You know, when we think about the gifts that we are given, and we talked earlier about I'm a massive introvert, and I'm married to a wonderful extrovert.
Yes, you know,
and it works really well because we have these strengths in different places.
Yeah.
And so is part of what this is that you know, basically when we go to heaven, we become our greatest essence, that greatest gift, you know. And now the sin you talked about, you know, maybe there's that little refining fire deal that we have to go through. But still what comes out is uniquely, you know, I was created unique. You were created unique. And we have those unique abilities. And we're going to need those for this reconstituted earth that's going to come up.
The new heaven.
New heaven, new earth. Yeah.
I know. Yes, that's so interesting to me. And, you know, this is just a little bit of a side tangent, but you're making me think a lot of C.S. Lewis's Great Divorce.
Me too.
Little short thing, right?
Yes.
Such a wonderful book, although, side note, we did a book discussion about that a few years ago, and one of our members said, I hope you got this in the 25-cent bin, because it's not even worth that. Hated it.
I love it.
And I love it.
Yeah.
But in that, you know, it's this allegory, and everybody's on a bus, and the bus is going to heaven or hell, right? But the basic premise is nobody who wants to go to heaven, who has a yearning to go to heaven, doesn't go.
Exactly.
You intentionally say, no, I would rather this lesser thing.
Yeah.
Because of this, and this, right?
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing of like God's goal. God's goal is heaven. And who do you think is in charge here?
Right.
Anyway, you're just making me think a lot about that short little
I thought about the same thing because, you know, we're shadow people. Unless we are, you know, so the grass is hard, it hurts our feet as we're moving.
Yes, that's what he talks about.
But then we begin to fill up but it's just letting go of those parts of us that aren't our essence.
That's right.
You know.
Which doesn't mean it's not difficult.
Right.
But it's not
true. You think about the man.
It's not real.
Yeah, the man that had I'm trying to remember the content, that had the big, was it a thing on his shoulder that spoke to him?
Maybe, yes.
And it diminishes and diminishes. And so there's those things within us that we need to diminish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
okay.
So, yeah, back to hope, you know.
Yes.
We know that there is this future death.
Yeah.
But we know that Christ went there before us.
Yeah.
Has prepared the way.
There's no place you can go that he has not already been.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he is there, you know, I guess we have to suppose that wherever we go in that next step, that he will be there too. Well, that's kind of a nice spot to be.
It is.
And, you know, we don't think in terms of purgatory or any of those other things. This is just that, N.T. Wright used that term, sleeping in Jesus, which is a really interesting term.
That's a fun term.
You know, you go to old cemeteries, and it's rest in peace.
Yes.
And, you know, we used to have that concept of this rest before the resurrection. So then resurrection comes along. And we've talked about, you know, the gospel writers are just gobstopped. You know, what in the world is this?
Yeah.
And everybody that meets Jesus is like, we didn't see this one coming. Yeah.
Well, and you think about, he took a whole bunch of Jewish people.
Yeah.
And they don't agree on everything going into Acts, going into the rest of the New Testament. But that none of them can walk away from this.
Yeah.
And it's not at all part of their teaching.
Right.
It's not at all part of what would make sense. And as they disagree about other things, this is the thing, the axis upon which they have to hinge.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's all over. There's none of this Sadducees, Pharisees thing, is there a resurrection? It's over.
It's over, yeah. So now we've got to deal with the reality that we're looking at.
Yeah.
What strikes you as odd, though, is you know, within our Gospels, it's really, you know, we get some hints of resurrection.
Yeah.
But it's really, what, 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul starts really laying it out, mm-hmm. you know, the how critical the resurrection is and you know, what is, but, it, you know, in our doctrine, in our common belief system, I think it's probably a better way to, you know, we don't think about bodily resurrection that
much. I know.
Wright takes great umbrage at a lot of our hymns that deal with heaven in this, mm-hmm. yeah, Plato. It comes almost from the pagan side. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to be disembodied and mm-hmm. You know, the really good get to go to this place and the really bad get to go to this other place, and you're kind of this disembodied soul. And so moving away from that, that's true, and really thinking about coming back as a resurrected body is a whole different, sometimes a whole different thought.
Well, and as we wrap up too here, I mean, you're back to hope again, because yeah. it's a whole other way of looking at the world around us, of looking at our own physical existence. Mm-hmm. Dee Dee Autry and I talked about this a little bit in one of the earlier episodes on resurrection of the body in particular, but none of this is Kleenex.
Yeah.
And toss away. This world matters more than that. You matter more than that. Mm-hmm. I matter more than that. To just, we get to matter. We get to literally have matter.
Yeah.
Right? Like, and take up space.
Yeah.
But it's so, you have to just shift everything.
Yeah. Well, one of the interesting thoughts that, you know, that is somewhat common in as I listen to other Christian folks speak is, you know, a new world is coming. Why do we have to take care of this one?
Yeah, exactly. The Kleenex model.
Yeah. And so this is that throwaway. You know, this is a throwaway earth. Mm-hmm. And part of it, I think, is muscle memory. Do we need to be working on maintaining, you know, what we have? Mm-hmm. It's not that we're justified by it, but it is mm-hmm. that we are reflecting mm-hmm. the God that is going to come back mm-hmm. and bring us back.
Well, yeah. And who made it the first time, who said, I'm kind of a fan, yeah. you know, that's good. Who loves it enough to send his son. Like, there's just all of this love and care and tending there. And so don't we want to be in that vein?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
you know, be in love and care and tending. I think God's tried to be pretty clear that it's not useless.
Right.
It's kind of a neat thing.
It's kind of a neat thing. Exactly.
to maybe yeah. not just.
Yeah. So we step to the come again piece.
Okay.
And where we always go, it seems like, to judgment.
Yeah.
You know, which is part of the come again thing. Mm-hmm. But
Christ will come again. Yeah.
But it's the fulfillment mm-hmm. is, you know, the promise is being fulfilled in that come again. And we have great hope. Would a God go through all of this?
For some sort of bait and switch.
Exactly.
At the end.
Or, he loved us so much.
Yeah.
Loves us so much that he wants the relationship. So, yes, our sin is repugnant.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just awful to him. But. He wants the relationship in the end. And so.
Which, just sit in that for a minute. That's amazing.
Yes.
To even, like, start there. I mean, I've met us.
I know. We all have. It's
but, gosh darn it all, he still. Yeah. It's like that's more important to him.
Yeah. We've all had those moments like. Starting over, you know, hit the reset was probably an okay thought at one point.
I know. So, okay, so the it's fulfilling the promise. So we're sitting in that mystery
uh-huh.
Of all that it means that he died.
It's been interesting that in our
and we'll fulfill it.
Then in our lifetime, you know, we get dumped in with the left behind type of aspect.
Yes.
And everything kind of gets diverted a little bit into mm-hmm. that, you know, that rapture model mm-hmm. and so forth. And it's not that we would ever divide over a belief.
Mm-hmm.
I struggle with any belief in the rapture. But still, that became kind of a part of what drives churches to mm-hmm. a certain extent
mm-hmm.
Is the idea of this, you know, we're going to focus on this eschatology and
mm-hmm.
perhaps we're even going to say that our group's in.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, our group better be in, right? And then a lot of others need to be out.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know, what I keep getting through N.T. Wright is they're getting this broad we coming mm-hmm. in. Now, he's not a universalist. Mm-hmm. And he becomes very clear because he gets accused of it at some point. He in the Cliff's Notes, he takes some time to talk about, I am not a universalist, mm-hmm. but I'm also not the kind of person that can say who can get in and who can get out. And so I can't narrow what it is. But it seems like we get lost a little bit in that and, mm-hmm. and not really focused on this, you know, Jesus on the cross said this, you know, it's finished. Well, this is really, this is really, really finished now.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and I have a lot of people who come to me concerned mm-hmm. About judgment and concerned if they've been good enough, that's in us, right? That's
it's in us. But it comes back to Ray on the ball that, you know, what's in this for?
It is. And, you know, gosh, I'm sure, you know, how could I ever be good enough? And all this stuff that we may not even mean with our heads. In our heads, yeah. we don't believe it, but in our stomachs we do, kind of. And I know I have often said to people, and I try to think this way myself, you know, Scripture, if among the many things Scripture tells us, Jesus is the judge, capital J. He is the judge.
Right.
And so I will be judged by him. So guess what? I just have to trust that whatever judgment he gives, it's right.
Right.
It's yeah. right. You know, and will I deserve it?
I will.
I mean, I'll deserve even. I will not deserve good.
Yeah.
I would deserve bad. But I have to trust the judge.
Right.
And if I can even begin to open my heart even a smidgen enough to say I'm going to really, really, really try pretty soon to start to trust the judge, even that, mm-hmm. are you kidding? Do you think God's not thrilled?
Exactly.
Like, do you think that, back to the parent-child thing,
yeah.
do you think God's not like, that is so sweet?
Yeah, it's like us with the grandbabies. That is the most wonderful mud ball
I've
ever seen. Yeah.
That's what I often tell people. It's like, do you trust the judge?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we have, and he is our hope.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's still hard to get our head around a new earth, you know. And so that's where we come back to the mystery of, can we allow ourselves? So one of the things that the Reformed Church got in, you know, we became very scientific at a mm-hmm. certain point. And so we really felt like we could figure things out. And it moved us away from the mystery piece.
Mm-hmm.
And I struggle, I'm an engineer. I struggle with...
So you should have liked all that science part.
The science part, it's all interesting. But at the end of the day, there, you know that there's this mystery and this stuff that you just, mm-hmm. you're just not told.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we work through the mystery of it? And that's mm-hmm. where the trust is. Because when we go back to Lazarus, in the sermon I wrote for you, that the chat robot wrote for you, is that question of, would I choose resuscitation or would I choose resurrection with what little I understand right now?
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Call me out of the tomb and I'll wander around because it's okay here. It's Kenny
Chesney. Do I want to be different?
Do I want to be different?
Do I want to be changed?
Yeah. Kenny Chesney, you know, it's everybody wants to go to heaven, just nobody wants to go now. So
exactly.
Right? And so, because I know what this is.
Yeah.
And so that's where I wanted somebody to write, you know, Lazarus was, is it going to be worth it in the end?
Mm-hmm.
And so which one would I choose? Mm-hmm. It's interesting that the robot, the AI chose resuscitation.
That's interesting.
It's interesting because Paul says, I want to be with Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so, it makes you think about the bias that the uh-huh, robot's got.
Uh-huh.
But it also yeah. makes you think, which would I choose?
Mm-hmm.
And so I hope I would choose the resurrection. That unknown, can I get comfortable enough with the mystery?
Well, and talk about a prayer. Like, if you want to add something to your prayer life, to even just pray every morning, you know, Lord, give me the kind of heart that is ready to be changed.
Yes, yeah.
I want to be the person right. who would choose resurrection. Right. I don't know if I would today, but make me that person.
That person, exactly.
Yeah.
Because I don't know that I will ever understand what is about to come.
No.
And I have the doubts.
Yeah.
So resuscitation puts me kind of right back where I was, you know.
Yeah, but to ask for
that mm-hmm. that heart that wants mm-hmm. to walk into the unknown,
mm-hmm.
and so it's an interesting question.
All right, I told you, everybody. I told you, it takes a special person to read theology on purpose, which Charlie Wolford does. Okay. I hope our listeners enjoy this conversation
It would be highly edited. Today. It's got to be.
Oh, well, if I had editing capabilities, we would edit. Instead, you guys are going to get the whole hog. So, okay, I could do this all day, and we should do this all day,
yeah.
Charlie. But we're going to end it for now. I thank you for listening. There is one more episode next week on these themes. If you do want to join the book club discussion, it's on April 30th. Just call the church for more information on that. But and Charlie's ahead of me on reading the NT, right? So I'll be getting on that along with all of you. Thanks so much, everyone. Peace.
Peace.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you enjoy this podcast, go ahead and hit like in your podcast feed. It really helps. Until next time, peace.